Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
It's Football Friday on the Fan.
Block somebody!
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and former All-American Cam Cleland.
Tapped by Coors Light. Duck fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Football Friday with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Number two on this Football Friday. All right. We're giving away two t-shirts as part of our football Q&A. So keep your football Q&As coming through on the Better You Today text line.
And next time will be?
Hold on. 55305. Yeah. And we will be giving another one away at 8 or in the 8 a.m. hour. So
8:15.
8:15. We're going to cycle back around to it. And we'll get to your football Q&A. So the very first one that we're giving away of two shirts is the question that we got about Washington and the loss of Jonathan Smith and what that has meant to their offense and Oregon State moving forward. Do you have that text pulled up? We made a promise in the 6 a.m. hour.
We
and
did.
You must live up to that promise.
Most definitely.
Where you have to read it in your Sporting KC voice.
Oh, man. This is way back here. I'm searching.
Oh, my goodness.
Where'd it go? You didn't tell me I was going to be prepared to do this, but now I must.
You knew that this was part of the deal here.
Yeah.
All right. While you're searching for that, go to your Twitter, and I just sent you a link to it. So it's in your DMs. But I'll preview what's coming up on the show.
I got it.
Joel Klatt will be joining us at 7:30. Fox College football analyst. Weekend Would You Rather at the top of next hour. Ready?
Even though Washington is still a good team and are still fighting for the North, do you think the reason they were an elite team?
Sounds like you're hurt.
It was because of Jonathan Smith's offense and not having them there anymore. It was hurting them this year, just a little. Also, since OSU has coached Smith now, do you think OSU will start to become that team fan and will him helm after a few recruiting classes? Wow. OSU fan, Sporting, Casey. There it was.
Very nice. Very well done. Very well done.
Excellent question.
Okay, so just know that if you send in the football Q&A winner for next hour, in the 8 o'clock hour, you could get some of that action, too.
Get some of that.
And if you missed where that voice came from, you should listen to the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080 The Fan when it comes out, because that was a whole deal.
In sports!
When we talked about the Timbers game. Right now, it's 7:06.
What's hot?
Spoken!
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the Fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
You know what? You did sound like P1 Raymond. You did sound like Paul Bearer. You sounded like British Paul Bearer. Do Paul Bearer.
Oh, it's time for the mountain.
Now do British Paul Bear.
Oh, it's time for the mountain.
Yeah, you did. You were British
Paul
Bear.
I like my coffee, tea, and caramel. Yeah. Sporting. Yeah. I don't know. See, it's the sporting part of how you say it.
Sporting, KC.
People talk about that.
Yeah, sure.
It's more wide. Wait.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Speaking of, the Portland Timbers are heading to the Western Conference Finals of the MLS Cup playoffs, beating Seattle 4-2 in penalty kicks in a drama-filled game. Sounders led 2-1 after regulation, which, of course, triggers extra time, where both teams scored, forcing penalties. Timbers await the winner of Sporting KC and Real Salt Lake, which play their second leg on Sunday.
That's a thing.
Huh?
Real. I'm not even going to give that an English thing. I'm just going to call that the roar.
It's my brand.
Yeah, that's more of a Spanish thing. That's like it is. Real.
Real.
Real. I'd like to go Real Salt Lake.
What is that? That's good. What is that?
I don't know.
What is that?
It's the guy from Family Guy who has the underbite.
Underbite?
The preppy boy.
Almost. Almost.
Country club. Anyways, Timbers, Western Conference Finals. That game last night was badass. It was fun. It was exciting. I loved it.
It's the coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life.
Cam did too.
Mm-hmm.
College football, 14th ranked North Carolina State lost to Wake Forest at home 27-23 after being outscored 21-7 in the final 17 minutes of the game. That is an impressive loss, and it probably has the playoff committee cringing at their ACC homerism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, tonight they could be cringing again as the 13th ranked Syracuse Orange host Louisville.
The Orange. And when did they switch from the orange to the from the orangeman to the orange? How long ago was that?
The orange women wanted to be a part of it.
Oh, and that's right.
That was like a decade ago, maybe. Okay. 10 years ago.
All right. So I don't know. Just if the orange.
Yeah. And then number
overrated.
Number 23, Fresno State takes on Boise State.
Ooh.
Yeah. Back to back, a doubleheader on ESPN.
You think Coach Pat gets a new job immediately this year?
Coach Pat?
Dude, I say. Did I say Coach Pat?
Yeah. Tedford? Yeah.
I said.
Is that who you mean? Did you go back to Pat Hill?
I almost said Pat Hill. Coach Jeff Tedford. He's going to get a new job. He's going to get offers, bigger offers.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he's already been there, done that, though.
No, he did that. He did that at Cal. That's different. I'm talking a bigger job.
Okay, thank you.
Oh,
Reports say the Portland Diamond Project will announce their stadium site at the end of the month. Brilliant move by the Portland Diamond Project, if true. The end of the month would mean you do it after Thanksgiving, which means it's after the Civil War and before the bowl games, before Christmas starts up. You could dominate a news cycle for quite a while. Thank you, Portland Diamond Project. And it's before people start caring about the NBA.
So wait a minute. Clear this up for me. It was 25 to 45 days. Right. Did that now shrink to the end of the month?
I think we're in the 25-day window. I think that's the 25-day window.
So the window shrunk down?
No. It's the same window.
The window expanded?
No, same window.
Same window
after? It's just the 25, not the 45.
All right.
Right?
I'm with you.
We are.
I'm really excited. That's like an early Christmas present.
Isn't it, though?
I hope they just unwrap it and it just explodes.
I hope the stadium doesn't explode.
No.
Oh.
The news is explosive news.
Yeah. All right, let's ruin Bucks Day, shall we?
That's pretty cool, I guess.
Steph Curry got hurt last night. He'll undergo an MRI after suffering an adductor injury. Adductor injury. In the Warriors' 134-111 throttling at the hands of the Milwaukee Bucks. Transitive property tells me Blazers
over.
Better than the Warriors because they beat the Bucks the other night.
Also, Giannis Antetokounmpo says that they've arrived now since they beat the Warriors.
It happens to everybody. When you're on the top of the mountain, once you get beat, everyone says we're equal to you.
Yeah.
Seven game series.
Buck, you worried?
Nope.
Okay. Adductor, that's your groin, right?
Yes, abductor. Yes.
Abductor's on the outside. Inside is adductor.
Adductor.
Adductors.
Adductor.
Yeah.
Hip flexor. All those things. Very complicated.
Yep.
Heck of an injury, though. He's getting hurt a lot. Getting older.
Sure is, but he was hurt early in his career. Remember his ankle injuries?
His ankles. His ankles.
It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot.
The Portland Trail Blazers are no Warriors. They improved to 9-3 on the season with a 116-105 win over the Clippers last night in Moda Center. 12 straight games with over 100 points to start the season for the hometown team. That's pretty darn impressive, if you ask me. Dame, 25 points. CJ, 23 points. They get that win despite only shooting 41%.
And how about this? Stat of the night. Guess who got his first block on the season?
Myers Leonard?
Myers Leonard blocked a three-point shot.
That's his first block in 2 years.
Block of the season. Holy smokes. Now that is a stat of the night.
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
Yeah, dang. Baby. Whew. That's my new favorite drop.
Hornswoggled. All right.
Bring it.
Hot and Cool on the Fans brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Right now, Area has great discount offers on qualifying equipment from Trane. Start saving today at areaheating.com. The weekend in the Pac-12 injuries playing a big role, and that's why one team's in the driver's seat. 713 on the Fan.
The Catlin Capital Hotline.
Okay, It Rat Meow is 7:17 on your Friday morning, and we have a slight change of plans here, as we're going to call Omaha, Omaha, Hot Route, Hot Route. Joel Klatt joining us at 7:45. Mm-hmm. He's got, probably meeting with Herbs, you know.
I think he is.
Urban Meyer, Mark D'Antonio, whatevs.
He's met with a few guys.
Don't go British.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I'm taking it to the new level today.
Don't you do that.
In the value of winning, the Timbers winning.
Mm. I want you to do the entire Joel interview in that accent.
Well, that would
ask him every question.
Bother him tremendously.
You think?
And all the listeners also. Although I might be bothersome anyway. So that probably wouldn't change.
Just level
Nothing
out.
Changes.
Just level things out there. Huh? Yeah. Okay, so Joel Klatt will join us 7:45. Change your plans accordingly. It's okay. We got a lot of football stuff that we can talk about in the meantime, including the Pac-12. This weekend's Pac-12 slate of games. This is the war of attrition. This is the point of the season where you look at it and you go, injuries are playing a huge role. I mean, we have Oregon with the Penei Sewell injury and how much that has meant to this team. The dynamics at quarterback at Oregon State with Jake Luton going down and Jamar Jefferson being hampered by injuries. Well, right now, Oregon and Oregon State actually on the benefiting side of injuries, as we knew Tyler Huntley broke his collarbone last week for the Utes against Arizona State.
Oh, boy.
Well, yesterday reports come out that their running back and high school teammate of Tyler Huntley, Zach Moss.
Both guys from Florida.
Went down with a knee injury. Is out this
Terrible.
Week, likely done for the season for the University of Utah.
Don't know if it was a non-contact or not, but both guys came together, and when they were recruited, they wanted to bring a Pac-12 championship, wanted to make a run together. They came all the way from Florida. It's a great story, and it just the two hasn't, man, it's a little frustrating. It's frustrating to see that.
If you're
a Utes fan, if you're part of that, you want to see. Now, the question will always be, do you want to beat the team at full strength, or do you just want to beat the team and win the game? You play to win the game, Herm Edwards.
You want to win the damn game.
You don't care who you're playing. Doesn't matter what uniforms are on. You're not going to cheer when someone's hurt.
You play to win the game.
But you're not going to apologize.
You're certainly not going to apologize because it's a full contact collision sport and everybody gets hurt.
But this is a game changer for this game because you sat there and you go, all right, they're breaking in a brand new quarterback. A freshman who, remember when we did the preseason little runarounds, we heard from the Pac-12 network, it was Yogi Roth, right? Preseason, when he was saying Jason Shelley is pushing Tyler Huntley for that starting job. Took this thing to the end of training camp before Huntley got that job, remember?
And
you sat there and they felt comfortable. You heard Mario Cristobal with his praise of Jason Shelley this week, which of course he's going to do that. But you always had the thought going into this game, if they have Zach Moss, they have a chance, right? Mm-hmm. If they're leaning on a defense and their leading rusher has a career, I think 700 yards is the guy in his career. That's how many yards he has in his career. That's their leading rusher. He's no Zach Moss. This is one that Oregon fan, your thoughts of dogfight on the road, you haven't been good at home. You got to win this game down in Rice-Eccles this week.
And you're facing this, I think Utah, if I look at the Pac-12 stats right now, the number two defense in the Pac-12 in scoring defense, but their defensive line is the best, in my opinion. It's very good. Their secondary still is good. So you're not going to go in there and just roll just because their quarterback isn't playing well. Remember how good Utah has played on defense throughout the entire season. They've always been a quarterback away. So you're not going to go down there and just roll through this defense. No way in heck. You're going to have to play super sound on your side of the ball on offense and do something to create a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
Some way, somehow, you're going to get a lot of pass rush. I think the best pass rush you're going to see for Justin Herbert is he's got to find a way to get out of the pocket
yeah.
a couple times. He's going to have to move the football with his feet.
And this is a big one for Oregon's defense as well, as you have injuries going on the offensive side for Utah. Oregon's defense appears to be getting healthy. Obviously, Kelana Pelu is going to be out, and you're moving Samson New in the into the starting lineup. But Austin Faleau back and starting to and saying that he's starting to feel normal again. And that defensive line was so dominant early in the year. It was really good again in that Stanford game. Remember the stands that they had against Stanford and against Washington. And then it was Faleau goes out and they start wearing down a little bit more and that rotation is thinner. You didn't have the guys to move in. Faleau being in, that could be huge news for yep. the Oregon defense, which yep. needs to have a bounce back. Another big injury, though, is in the other in-state matchup. For the Oregon State Beavers, it appears that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is going to be out with an ankle injury for the Stanford Cardinal. And he has been Mr. Go-To for them. Yep. This has been run the ball you, tight end you, and it has turned into a K.J. Costello Arcega-Whiteside show for the Stanford Cardinal. That's a break for the Beavs, and who would have thought that this game would be two pass-happy teams at the beginning of the year? Heck, just a couple of weeks ago that it'd be Luton and Costello showcasing their arms.
Now, I still think you're going to have a little bit of Bryce Love effect, who I think has been limping for probably 3 years. It's amazing to me his ankles and kind of the injuries. And this shows you that it's so hard for Stanford to have depth. I mean, no matter how many times, the way they play football, super physical. They have big, big wide receivers. They have 6'7", 6'8", tight ends up and down. They have the best tight end in the conference right now. I mean, he is his go-to guy on top of former J.J. Arcega-Whiteside,
who's no longer. Smith?
Yeah. He's number 82, if you correct me if I'm wrong. Mm. So they still have a little bit of weapons. And Stanford's not an easy out. Every single game they play, they're going to be very physical. So that's not going to change. And I think Oregon State's going to have to do, they're going to have to do one thing is long, sustaining drives.
Yeah.
Those type of drives are going to be detrimental for if you're thinking about Stanford. Stanford loves, they're not great at coming behind. Although when I look at this game, I like Oregon State's chances in this. Now, I'm not going to say I'm going to pick them outright.
Always play them tough.
I'm not going to say that. So I think Stanford might be mailing it in a little bit.
Hey, Buck.
Upset alert.
Check out the Stanford academic calendar.
Oh, you're looking for the finals? Midterms?
Midterms, finals.
Could are they be on about quarters or semester system?
I don't know. But there are bettors out there that'll throw money on Stanford's opponent when they're playing in those games near finals week. Also, in this whole conversation that we're talking about, injury is going to be impacting the Utah-Oregon game. Injury is going to be impacting Oregon State and Stanford. That's like the no duh. Washington State has been insanely healthy this year.
Yeah.
And they're going up against a Colorado team. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Coug fans. Sorry. They're going up against a Colorado team, which it could be down three starting wide receivers.
That's 2 years in a row Colorado's been slaughtered. Almost 3 years in a row, if you think about it. Injuries.
Yeah.
Going back to 2016.
Even in that Pac-12 championship game against Utah.
Yeah, Sefolufau could move.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then Lufau's gone. Lufau went down. Montez had to come in. You've had kind of that roller coaster and that changing yo-yo at quarterback, and then running backs have gone down. Wide receivers. They're also going to be down a starting strong safety too, for that game. And I say they could be down three because Laviska Shenault may be back, but their two other leading receivers, one being Mike McIntyre's kid, could be out of that game as well. So, I mean, this
I think
is
Washington State
huge.
Rolls. I think they roll in this game. I know it's the Cougs just have a 6-point line. I would take that line all day long right now.
But isn't that incredible, though? Part of a special year and a special run is totally lucky. It's health. You can't determine or predict when your guys are going to get hurt.
If you can stay healthy on defense, Washington State's offensive line stays incredibly healthy. And why do they do that? Because they're always in retreat mode. Offensive linemen get racked up from behind because when you're going physically at them, they're big physical offensive linemen and you're getting guys falling all over the pile. You see offensive line, all they do is sit in 2-point stances and they kick. So they're always protecting. They don't run block a tremendous amount. Their wide receivers are in so much space. And the other thing that they do really well is their receivers get down. Like they have a lot of run after catch.
Don't take hits.
But they don't take hits. And the way the ball is positioned for Minshew, it's on the sides. It's vertical. They're not giving them the ball in those tiny little shallow crosses and then saying, just get up the middle and take a hit. They don't. They're taught to get down. Let's get up to the line. Let's go again. So being smart on offense is also being smart with your coaching to tell these guys we need to continue to play longer. And they've had guys hurt in the past where they've got guys.
River Craycraft got hurt last year.
Right. And that really affected them. So this year, they have 11 different receivers that are catching the football. How do you? Well, okay.
Well, we'll just plug and play. Probably what Mike Leach is saying.
Easy.
But yeah, think about last year. That 7-1 start that they rolled out to. And then they, you know, Peyton Plewer got hurt, obviously, earlier in the year. I think they had two other injuries in the secondary at one point in the season. They lost a defensive lineman for an extended period of time. And then they lose River Craycraft. It is a war of attrition, the game of football is. And you're starting to see when teams get banged up, And that is kind of the detriment of your season in the game, unless you're Alabama.
Yeah, if you look at teams in the Pac-12, who's getting healthy and who's playing good football? Teams that are getting healthy are certainly Washington State staying healthy, but everybody like Oregon trying to get a little bit more healthy. Washington's on a bye. They're getting more healthy. Cal still staying together. So these teams, USC getting JT Daniels back. So you kind of got to look at that and who's going to start playing better towards the end of the season.
All right, well, there's a few games in college football where we could have some upset alerts that – aren't really obvious when you take a look at them on the surface. Look at the college football weekend and what it may mean to the playoff committee, which is already sweating one game in. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, we're usually joined by Joel Klatt. He will join us in 10 minutes from right now. And his regular time slot, he's doing very important Ohio State, Michigan State stuff, as that's the game he'll be on. Number 10, Ohio State. Number 18, Michigan State on the road. That could be an eliminator for Ohio State.
No.
If they lose that game.
You think Ohio State,
if they lose that game, they're out.
So remember last week I said that Nebraska game was kind of like that trap game a little bit for Ohio State, that Nebraska was going to play them a little bit tougher. Ohio State was kind of not tanking, but they're going through a little bit of turmoil with Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. Another game that you can see, I could see Michigan State winning this football game.
Yeah.
And yeah. Sure, it would be an elimination.
Their
game.
Defense just isn't very good at Ohio State right now.
No.
I mean,
they just don't look like the same team.
No. Why is that?
I don't know. Do you think Bosa was the guy that held it all together?
Zach Smith was that good of a receivers coach, maybe.
I don't know.
Wait, what? it's troublesome there. And maybe it's Urban Meyer not being there all the way.
Oh, you know, distractions, not off the field distractions.
In. Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that affects a coach. And a great coach is, they make a big difference in college football. We already saw one upset in the college football slate as Wake Forest, the Demon Deacons. Yes, the same team that Willie Taggart's crew slapped around and beat by 21.
Yeah.
They beat number 14 NC State.
Oh, NC State. That ACC team that everybody says is really good?
At NC State.
Uh-huh.
They beat them at NC State.
Right.
We've been talking about how the playoff committee propping up the ACC. They did it at the very beginning when 20 through 25 had four ACC teams in it.
I can't wait to ask Joel about that.
And it was one thing to have them in 20 through 25, but then you saw huge jumps from Syracuse and North Carolina State, who jumped up to 13th and 14th respectively in this past week's poll. Well, NC State just got beat. And Blue, by the way, they were outscored 21-7 in the final 17 minutes of the game. That is to a bad team. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of just goes to show you what's going on here with the playoff committee in making the resume for the top four better. It means nothing about NC State. All this is to make Clemson and potentially Notre Dame, if they play both of these teams, look better. And that's why you see those teams up at 13 and 14, but it's cringeworthy when they lose.
It's also true that Frank Beamer is going to do what he does best, is try to give his conference the kind of leverage and voice in the room.
See, that's BS because every conference is doing that seemingly except for the Pac-12.
And the chair is Rob Mullins here from Oregon. He is the athletic director, and I don't believe that he's doing – I mean, it's a thankless job. You've said it. I've said it. We all know it's a thankless job, and he's doing a great job with it because he gets paraded out in front of the entire country every Tuesday from now on and is going to try to sell us all that this is as balanced and as fair as possible.
No, it's not. No.
I don't know what it is.
But you know what?
All I know is true. But I do know – I know this about going into this week. The top four, in my mind – this is probably the first time that I've looked at the college football playoff from a ranking that said, this four, I'm good, man. Give me this. Give me this. I'm all in on this group. Like, I'm all in right now.
If this Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame,
this was the end
Michigan.
Of the season and we were on this, I'd be like, give it to me, please. I want to watch every single second of these games.
Okay, and here's where, if Pac-12 fan has a gripe or wants to have a gripe, don't, because of the fact that what they're trying to do is prop up the top four teams.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
What they're saying is clear.
Every week.
They don't believe the Pac-12 has one of the four best teams or six best teams in the country.
And no offense, they don't.
They don't. They do not.
They don't.
And so, you know, it seems like Coug fan is like, hey, we're feeling slighted here. You should because of where you're at.
Yeah.
But, you know, throwing you a bone and climbing you up to seven is teasing you. You know, if Cougs move up to seven or six, they're not getting into that top five because the playoff committee doesn't believe that they are in line with the teams that you just named, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, or even Georgia.
Well, for gosh sakes, there's a two-loss LSU team in front of them. Yeah. Two losses.
That's that line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's that line that they're drawing.
But could the Cougs, and we do know that the Cougs could argue over and over, they could argue this point till they're blue in the face, that because of one call at USC, they should be a top five team.
Yep. They should be undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they could be undefeated. That field goal would have tied it, but could be undefeated.
Yeah.
And controlling your fate more than what you did in that game. I heard Matt Hasselbeck on with Golic and Wingo this morning. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear his tinfoil hat theory? Just give me a yes or no.
Sure.
Clemson goes on the road to Boston College.
Oh, loses.
It's supposed to be cold. Those guys from South Carolina are
used to playing. Where did Matt Hasselbeck play football?
Oh, Boston College.
Oh, it's Boston College.
Okay, so no. Not that.
Wow, the homer take.
Yeah, right?
As early as possible.
How about that?
That is going to be a slaughter.
Yeah. All right, our friend Joel Klatt will join us next, college football analyst for Fox Sports, to break down what the committee's thinking and the weekend in college football next on The Fan. All right, he usually joins us every Friday at 7:30, but he's a very busy man, so he moved us to 7:45. It is Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst. Good morning, Joel. How are you?
Good morning. What's going on, man?
Not much.
We're not doing much.
You're on a big game again this weekend, which, here, first question, do you do Pac-12 games anymore?
Oh, why?
No, they're not good enough.
Oh.
No, that's fair. You are on number 10, Ohio State, at number 18, Michigan State. We see the ACC getting propped up. How do you feel about the overall health of the Big Ten? Obviously, Michigan is a title contender at number 4 in the playoff committee. But what about the other teams in the college football playoff rankings? You got number 10, Ohio State, who struggled at times, and 18th-ranked Michigan State in there as well with Iowa. In Penn State, too.
Yeah, it's an incredibly deep conference. I would say that the middle of the conference is the best, that I think is the deepest in America, quite frankly. You take everybody's top team, and then you go from 2 to 8, and I think that the Big Ten is the best from 2 to 8. Obviously, the SEC's got the best two teams, if you're just rating about that with Georgia and Alabama. Clemson is obviously incredibly top-heavy with a ridiculously weak ACC that's totally overrated in the committee rankings. But the Big Ten is, and that's part of their problem right now, in particular in the West Division, is that you don't have a great team, and so what you get is just everybody kind of beating up on each other, and Michigan State has bore the brunt of that a little bit with 3 losses on the year. But it's really good, and Ohio State's in an interesting position because I think that they still have an outside shot to potentially make a run, in particular with Michigan still on the slate to help their resume. But this is a conference that I certainly expect to get huge consideration, in particular if it's Michigan, with one loss as a conference champ. I'm in the camp that thinks Michigan controls their own destiny for a playoff. Even if Alabama were to lose to Georgia, I'm in the camp that a 12-1 Power 5 champ is almost all but a lock to get in. Now, we might see a couple of those not get in. Let's say Washington State runs the table and Oklahoma runs the table. Michigan runs the table. We're going to have three 12-1 champs, and two of them are not getting in at a minimum, maybe three. So it's an interesting year.
Joel, what's your most egregious bias or of what this committee's done thus far? I know you mentioned the ACC and what maybe potentially Frank Beamer's done.
ACC by a wide margin, Cam.
Yeah.
Wide margin. And when you look at, all I did is I went in and I averaged three rating systems that I really think are good, really good. The FPI, the Sagarin ratings, and the S&P Plus. And all you got to do is look at those ratings and average those computer rankings out. And what you will see is that on average, those ACC teams that are behind Clemson are ranked about 23 spots higher than what the computers would rank them on average, not total. On average,
that's ridiculous.
That's staggering. Last week it was 15. This week it's 23. They all got raised up by five spots, and you saw exactly how good North Carolina State was last night. My theory is that Miami is patient zero. Miami as patient zero makes a lot of sense because when you look at it, LSU overrated. Who they beat Miami when Miami was so-called a top 10 team. Then you go Boston College beats Miami. North Carolina State beats Boston College. Then Syracuse beats North Carolina State, and everything points back to Miami, and some ridiculous preseason poll got propped up. They're a four-loss team, and yet everyone's building their backs off of Miami as patient zero.
Well, Joel Klatt is our guest, Fox College football analyst. But the one thing that I loved about the chart that you put up there is, why don't you fill our listeners in on who's the most undervalued team by the College Football Playoff Committee in this? Because when the bias is showing, it kind of sticks out, and it's pretty glaring there.
Yeah, it's a frustrating deal, right? And part of the problem, I think, is that there's no set standard. You know, we allowed for so much autonomy within that conference, and yet the statistical variance is so wide when you're talking about a 13-variable equation. Anybody that understands math whatsoever or passed a calculus class understands statistical variation in some form or fashion. They would understand that the 13-variable equation has a much more wide statistical variance than a 152-variable equation. My whole deal with this thing is that, one, we needed to set more strict standards, i.e. you've got to win your conference championship in order to go. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is we've got to increase the number of variables. I think we need two or three more committees so that we can at least get to 40 or 50 variables, because right now you get one rogue variable that gets any amount of influence. He influences two more variables. And now you've got three of 13 variables that are rogue, and they skew the data set wildly. And the three people that are sitting there thinking to themselves, yeah, I remember calculus, they're nodding their heads thinking to themselves, yeah, he's right.
Yeah, because Washington, according to that chart that you had, was, what, 15 spots lower than what the computers had them at?
Think about it. There's three snaps of the football away from being undefeated, basically.
Yeah.
You know, maybe four, maybe five snaps, but that's a team that has, I would say, underperformed, but at the same time, they've been right there. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head, all three of their losses are by a total of like 9 or 10 points.
Yeah, kickers, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, kickers screw you, a coach screws you a couple of times. Peterson puts in a backup quarterback, he throws a pick six, and all of a sudden you're a three-loss team, but the computers would tell you that they would be favored over about anybody in the country, save for the top six or seven teams. Here's another. I certainly think they're going to beat Washington State. They're a better team.
I'm taking that one to bank. Yeah,
Cam wanted that one to breathe, Joel.
No,
he was like,
I'm just going
to let that one breathe for a minute.
You guys marinating that thought. All right. I feel like for me, this is the first time I've looked at the core four at the top. 1, 2, 3, 4 from Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame and Michigan. I feel pretty comfortable they're the best four, and I would love to see that matchup. Let's give you a coaching question, though. Even though you look at those four coaches, who's doing the best job of coaching this year of the four? I know you could just look at Nick Saban. I get that. But of those four coaches right now, who's doing the best job coaching?
Well, you can make an argument for all of them. right? I mean, Saban's doing something. He has changed. He has transformed almost in a Belichickian way. You know, Bill Belichick has won Super Bowls with a number of different styles of teams, and now all of a sudden Saban is morphing a little bit towards the modern style of coaching. So you can make an argument for him. You can make an argument for Dabo Swinney making the tough decision to go away from Kelly Bryant and going towards Trevor Lawrence. You can make the argument, obviously, for Brian Kelly and what he's been able to do with an undefeated team making a quarterback change. You can make an argument for Jim Harbaugh with a team that was, yes, veteran, but also was bringing in a transfer quarterback. Of the four, my nod would go to Brian Kelly because of who he lost on the offensive line last year, the quarterback move that he made, you know, early in the season, the improvement that they've made, and the fact that they're undefeated. I think Brian Kelly would get my vote right now for kind of a Coach of the Year type of award.
Joel Klatt, Fox College football analyst, is our guest on the Catlin Capital Hotline. He joins us every single Friday, usually at 7:30, a little bit later this week. I saw the lines came out. We had them sent our way from the odds makers of Alabama and how they would be favored against every single team that is in the top five right now, well, then Central Florida as well by 31. They're double-digit favorites over every team except for Clemson, which 8.5 points. Is Alabama's dominance good or bad for college football, in your opinion?
I think dominant teams, programs, players are great. Was it bad for the NBA when Jordan won 6 titles in 8 years? Was it bad for the NBA when LeBron has made whatever 6-7 straight finals? Of course not. Was it bad for the NBA when Bird and Magic dominated the 80s? No, of course not. I think dynasty. Is it bad for the NFL? The New England Patriots have been in what is it, 7 straight AFC championship games, 8 straight AFC championship games? Of course not. I think that this is a myth that dynasties are bad. Mm-hmm. I actually think that the irrelevant teams becoming dominant are actually worse for a sport than the other way around. If Jacksonville were to have beaten New England last year in the Super Bowl, that Super Bowl would have had record low ratings. Record low. Why? Because no one cares about Jacksonville, right? People care about dynasties, and I think people care about Alabama, and this one could be historically great. So whatever happens in terms of the ratings, I still think that dynasties are good for sports, whatever sport you're talking about.
But Joel, what would the Pac-12 have to do to compete against the rest of the country then moving forward? With that said, of feeling like you're behind the eight ball, is it just that there's not enough recruits? There's not enough good coaching in the conference to develop? Do they have to change their system? What would this conference have to do to step it up?
Hello?
You probably lost it.
Yeah.
It was such a dumb question. It was just didn't make any sense.
I thought it was a good one. I hear him.
Yeah.
He does not hear us, apparently. Joel Klatt. It was our time with Joel anyways. It was time for him to go. I think his phone dropped out.
Maybe his phone dropped out.
He's calling.
His phone indeed dropped out.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah.
Because I don't see our phone line just saying, I quit.
It's always the phone line's fault. I hate technology.
We're hard-lined in. So,
yeah.
Anyways, Joel Klatt joins us every Friday, 7:30, this day at 7:45. And it's always a good conversation. And it is a good – can I answer your question for you?
Sure. What do you think it? What do you think?
I think it's getting your best players to play defense out here.
Huh.
Think of how many great defenders from the West Coast there are. Because they all play offense, and that's how we keep them out here, is that we let them play offense.
You know what this is my crazy theory. Just sounds crazy. But what do teams do in professional now? What do they do when Golden State jumps on together? Boogie Cousins joins up. Yeah. What do you do in baseball when the Yankees are going to buy Bryce Harper and Manny Machado? Yep. What does college football do in the South and some of the times when these guys go to the Elite 11s, when they go to the openings, they become friends? My crazy pie-in-the-sky theory is some program in the Pac-12 needs to become the cool spot where everybody wants to go join up and become together and stay together because there's not enough guys. That would be my one crazy way to say – the way millennials and the way kids are wanting to be recruited, it all is a connection with a coach, a connection with a program where the guys just sit together and all call each other up and put into a group chat and say, let's all go to this place.
Funny you say that because that is exactly what Oregon's uptick in recruiting has been the hashtag Cali flock.
Whatever it takes.
Fact that all those California kids that are in the same area, the recruiting coordinators put together the photoshopped images of all of them in their duck uniforms together, and they send it out to them. That's what you're talking about. They
exactly
do that all
I'm
the time
about.
In the South.
Yeah.
Do it all the time in the South. And UW has done a great job of building a wall around the state of Washington and Seattle in general by doing the Purple Rain Space Needle stuff.
Oh, winning helps. Winning is what it takes to be. But I don't know if we're deep enough in recruits and have a way to replenish your recruiting classes unless they start to come together. Yeah. And every other sport is doing it. Baseball does it. Basketball does it. One and done, call it what it is. These guys play their little 7-on-7 leagues, and they start to collaborate with each other. And strangely enough, it might trend towards one program.
We've already given out one Dusty and Cam P1 T-shirt for football Q&A. If you've got football questions, we got football answers. We'll do that at 8:15. But next, it's always awkward, often offensive, exceedingly entertaining. It's our weekend. Would you rather? Next on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.